Good morning and welcome to Copper Country Today. I'm Todd Van Dyke filling in for Rick Allen, who is away. It's a good opportunity for me to talk about something that is happy and happening here in the Copper Country. We have so much negativity in the news these days. It's nice to talk about something positive. A local business that has made some great strides over the last few years, one that's been around for a while, but looks a lot different today than it did just a few years ago. And I welcome into the studio Sean Binder and Meredith LeBeau and Todd Broussard from Calumet Electronics. Good morning to all of you and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Todd.
Calumet Electronics is what?
We're
40, 50 years old, Todd?
Oh, we're going to be 50. We're celebrating our 50th anniversary starting in 2018.
So this is not a new company, and yet you are very cutting edge.
Yeah. You know, Calumet Electronics got its start back in 1968, which happened to be the same year that the mines closed. And Calumet Electronics was put together by a local banker who was doing hobby work in his basement, playing around with something called semiconductors. And he was very interested to know if, with all the mines closing, whether or not a business could be started that would help keep jobs here and keep people here and keep families here.
How do you connect copper mines with semiconductors? I'm not sure. That logic doesn't work for me.
Well, that would get into the fundamentals of what we do at Calumet Electronics, which is manufacture printed circuit boards. And printed circuit boards are all about copper.
Well, that's true now that you mention it. And so this business that had kind of been in a basement talking about something that nobody had ever heard of at the time, semiconductors, we didn't know what those were.
Not so much.
Not the general public. And it grew from there, but it grew kind of slowly.
Well, it's grown steady over time with the industry. A lot of technology advances have been made over the years, but very much so, I would say, when you say Sean and Meredith, maybe in the last 5 years, we've definitely made some technological leaps.
So explain, for those who don't know what this is, what the heck is a printed circuit board?
Printed circuit boards tie microchips and components together. It actually is the wire that binds all the components together that makes electrical decisions or computational decisions in the equipment and in the stuff that's made in the world.
These are the complicated green things inside our computer, right?
Yep, that plug in and put out a signal to the monitor or tell something how to add something up or unlock the doors in your car even.
Everything from a sauna controller to a
Now you've hit us close.
Everything from the saunas to cockpits and airplanes. Everything has circuit boards.
Yeah, your car has circuit boards in it.
More and more.
Now, lots and lots of things, and of course, our computers, our cell phones, all of this is possible because of these printed circuit boards that were still fairly new when Calumet Electronics was established, weren't they?
Oh, sure. I mean, printed circuit boards or that kind of technology probably dates back to the 1930s and 1940s when people were, you know, doing everything very much by hand. But the techniques and the manufacturing processes has definitely evolved, you know, very quickly, especially in recent years as everything that we do in touch gets smaller. Or that's in the consumer market, or in commercial markets or industrial markets, it gets more reliable, where the reliability is incredibly important, that these boards, they can't fail for you when you're in the middle of an air flight or when you're launching a rocket or when your MRI is running. You know,
when you're trying to put the brakes on in your car on a slippery day and all of a sudden the
brakes have to kick in. Relying on the design, engineering, and manufacturing technologies that make these boards reliable.
But now, correct me if I'm wrong, this is electronics, and electronics basically over the last 60 or 70 years production has shifted a lot overseas. They're making these things in sweatshops in China and little villages in India and places like that. How do you compete against that?
Well, I'm going to let Sean take part of this. I'll take the first part of it. But if you look at the industry over the last 20 years, outsourcing has been very devastating in the industry where we participate. So 15 years ago, as recently as 15 to 20 years ago, there would have been 2,500 PCB shops across the country like ours. Our national sales or our VP of corporate development once told us while we were driving through California that PCB shops were like 7-Elevens. There was just one on every corner. Fast forward to today, 9 out of 10 are gone. So it's a 90% attrition rate. Only 10% are left in the United States, and we're one of one out of 10. And that's because they couldn't survive offshoring with all the work moving overseas and people being able to buy PCBs for what we just pay for the materials, literally 20% of what we would sell it for. It just really destroyed the market and shut a lot of businesses down.
So, Sean, what do you do that's so special that has enabled Calumet Electronics not only to survive but to thrive?
A lot of the markets that we serve require high reliability product, product that has a lot of intellectual property involved with it, that there might be a risk or a concern about going overseas, protecting it domestically. And we've really catered our business and our clientele to help focus on that type of work.
Okay, so you're talking about, like, you know, corporate secrets and specialized technology that if you send it to China, the Chinese government might get a look at it.
Yeah, or even commercial knockoffs where the part can look exactly the same as something that's made here, but it's not the same because they've kind of stolen the design. So a lot of the markets, a lot of the customers that we deal with are concerned about intellectual property. The other thing that Todd kind of spoke to is our focus on being responsible, conservative with our financial model and being able to remain when a lot of these companies had to go away. Our industry is heavily focused on capitalization. We need to stay relevant by buying the most recent equipment to keep up. And a lot of companies couldn't keep up. They couldn't keep
reinvesting. They didn't do the reinvestment.
Yeah, because this has got to be a big challenge for anybody in the electronics business. Stuff goes out of date almost before you get it installed on the floor.
That's true. And everything gets smaller and tighter and faster. And it's a constant drive to be able to still manufacture some of the technologies that people are asking for. You know, all looks great when you design it on the computer, but when you actually have to put it onto a manufacturing floor, suddenly physics and chemistry becomes a real variable in what you're trying to do.
And I suppose operator training as well.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, we happen to – so we know a lot of what we know because we are audited constantly by customers. We are audited constantly by different standards organizations. And they come up and they're people. And they're in dozens, if not hundreds of different shops throughout their careers. And they compare and contrast these shops. And, of course, we always ask, how do we stack up? How do we stack up? How do we stack up? And one of the constant positive things that we always get back is the quality of our workforce, just the type of people that we employ, the type of people we are in Upper Michigan. You know, we're smart, we work hard, we get the job done, we pay attention to detail, and all of that has really, really served us well in the industry. We literally, Sean and Meredith, I think you'd agree, when guests come up, they're blown away by how we do business, the kind of people we have, the systems that we've developed, the manufacturing equipment we employ.
Is it kind of a secret to a lot of people in the copper country as well? I mean, you drive by, there's a little sign on it, there's a building in Calumet, everybody kind of knows it's there. Most people have no idea, I suspect, what you're doing inside there.
We've developed over the last 5 years. So 5 years ago, we really did an in-depth marketing study to understand who we are, what we're about, and who our competition is. And one of the things that we realized is that we are a best-kept secret. We're not only a best-kept secret locally, meaning people don't even really realize there's an industrial manufacturer right in the middle of downtown Calumet, you know, in a historical park. But the world doesn't know that we hadn't reached all of the potential customers and let people know. So one of the things we've been doing for the past 4 years is trying to shed the secret, right? We're here. We have great people. We make a great product. And, you know, you need to do business with us. And that's really been working well for us.
Talking with Todd Brassard and Meredith LeBeau and Sean Bender from Calumet Electronics about what they do and the growth that their company has experienced, kind of against the odds.
Definitely
as you've been hearing over the last few years. I was noticing you mentioned some of these accreditations that you have. I was looking down your website at all of the different standards that you have to meet. What are those? And why would they confuse the heck out of me, I suspect, Meredith?
To drive a strong production system and training program, you have to have a quality backbone. And that's what's gotten us through basically since we began. And we have to meet the different quality systems from your top-tier consumers like Boeing to even Crown Forklift systems that have their own performance specifications. And so we are judged on how our quality system is composed. And we are judged by these certification bodies, which is AS9100. We also participate in the National Aerospace Defense Consortium, which is a NADCAP program, one in 13 or 14 in the country. So those drive our really strong program to support us in ensuring that we are producing the best quality product.
Now, this must be a challenge to get and keep these accreditations, because if you're one of only 12 or 13 or 14 in the country, I'm guessing that means it's pretty strict.
It's a commitment by the company to be associated with these certification bodies. One, there's an expense associated with it. Two, there are audits associated with it, usually yearly audits that are not just one day long. They come up and they're about 5 days, and they're pouring through everything in the company from our purchasing to our training. But it is what has gotten us through in the market and what has set us above the rest of the competition.
Lots of hoops to jump through with these.
Yes, but we don't bolt on a quality system. We live it and breathe it every day, so the hoops are not as much of a challenge for us.
What doors, in terms of a customer base, what doors did these certifications open to you?
The NADCAP it primarily opens us up to defense organizations, a Rolls-Royce, a Boeing, Rockwell, Raytheon. But then the AS9100 opens up doors to medical, industrial, anyone that needs to ensure that there's a strong quality system and the flow down requirements from these top tier customers.
And I'm assuming, I don't know a lot about your side of things, but I'm assuming that there are opportunities that come up and bids that go out from these companies that you can't even talk to them unless you have these certifications in place.
Absolutely. That's why it opens the doors to these markets for us. We must be accredited to participate in even the quoting process.
What made you decide to go this, I'm going to call it the high road, in terms of going to the real quality side of production as opposed to just kind of keeping it cheap and down and dirty?
You know, I think we're going to have to give credit to that one to our president and CEO, Steve Viro, who basically has taken the long ride from the telecom boom and the telecoms bust right up through the housing market crash to the company that we are today. He understood that offshoring was taking our you know, industry apart, that our sales reps that we had at the time were compromised. Meaning that they had two masters. They had us, where they could make 5%, and then or they could sell China boards, where they would make 40%. You know, he got rid of all the sales reps. He let the contracts expire, and then got on an airplane himself and rebuilt all the relationships with all the customers over many years. 100 flights a year. Really focused on getting the equipment into the building, the manufacturing equipment we needed to participate in some of the technologies. You know, we have equipment from all over the world, from Germany, from Italy, from Europe.
And I think we've always been known as a high-quality manufacturer, even back from the 60s on. So it was a natural extension to start just certifying the fact that we can do the high-quality work, and with the association with the capitalization that you're talking about, Todd, it was a natural extension to go out and get these accreditations and show that we're relevant and we can participate in that marketplace as well.
Is it difficult to bring that business here? I mean, we're not exactly the center of the electronics world here on the Keweenaw Peninsula. A lot of these companies operate, I'm sure, in places that are the centers of the electronics world. Is it difficult to get them to throw business to a place that's difficult to visit sometimes? It wasn't that long ago where we were even a little bit difficult to get on the web.
No doubt. I think the accreditations that we've sought has helped bridge that gap, so to speak. But in this society, in this day and age, the accreditations go a long way. We're available as far as on demand, on the web, as you mentioned as well. And with our new manufacturing sale rep network, we're hitting the targets, the bigger areas, letting people know that we're here. I think our quality and our reputation has stood for itself, and that's what, we're one of the lone survivors, as Todd was saying before, and that helps us get through a lot of the hurdles of bringing business up here.
But doing business for industry in this region is definitely challenging. There are a lot of barriers. The speed limits on the highways are 55, but there's no rail system. Power, I think I've heard, is second highest in the country.
I was going to ask you about power.
We use lots of
power.
That's
been such a big issue with a lot of manufacturers. yeah. here in the area. That drives overhead up.
We're not close to the shipping. You know, we don't have a competitor across the street who, if we get into trouble, say we lose a critical piece of equipment for a period of time, where we can just run across the street and ask them to run our boards and return the favor, if something happens to them, we're isolated, which means we are all about self-reliance. We're all about redundancy and fault tolerance. We stock probably a more material that we use than even the manufacturer sells it to us. Right, so that if there's a problem, or I mean, the worst thing that we have up here is a snowstorm, and we scoff that off like it's nothing.
Well, but it's not nothing necessarily
compared to an earthquake or a tornado or
hurricane.
Oh, yeah, okay, I'll give you that. But it's not nothing if you're sitting here needing something to ship tomorrow, and it was supposed to be overnighted on a plane in last night.
You understand? And, you're a wise man of many years.
Oh, please.
You understand, right?
Please tell that to other people who know me.
So our customers come up. Our customers, some of our customers visit our rural location, and once we convince them that we don't use outhouses, I know it's funny, but it's kind of true. And they look at our factory. I mean, one of the best ways we pick up a new customer, of course, is we just bring them here, meet our people, see our facility, and we've brought a new customer on board. But Steve, you know, my boss has this story that he says. People say, well, what's it like with the snow? And he says, well, imagine you get up in the morning, but before you go to work, you got to mow your lawn. Right?
Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, before you can put your car in the garage, you got to mow your lawn. And maybe before bed, you just do a quick mowing to touch it up so that it's not so hard to mow in the morning.
Yeah, it's like your grass grows really fast.
That's what it's like moving snow in the winter up here. Yeah.
But how do you... Yeah, we're in this modern age where we can talk back and forth with teleconferencing, web conferencing. We can shoot electronic messages back and forth. We can fax. We can do all of these things. But at some point, you need to have face-to-face contact.
Oh, yeah.
And you're talking about doing business with, you mentioned Boeing. They're in Seattle. You mentioned government contracts, a lot of them based in Washington. Those are faraway places and not easy to get to from here.
So over the last 4 years, part of our success is we actually brought the rep model back. So one of the things that we learned is everywhere is kind of far from here, and everywhere is kind of an expensive plane ticket from here, right? It's not cheap, and it's not very convenient flying out of Houghton County Memorial Airport. Is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm. CMX.
Right.
CMX. And so what we've done is we've actually reinstated the rep model. And we have something like, I want to say, I never know, 8 firms, 9 firms?
Yeah.
With maybe 50 people on the ground. Each of these firms has 1 to 9 people. And we're on their line card, and so they represent us. And what we've learned is we've had the good and bad experience with reps in the past, so we've learned a lot, and this time we're trying to execute it much better. Find organizations that have similar ethics and moral attitudes towards how to do business, similar interests. But they speak Texas. They speak Southern California. They speak Florida, right? They have the inroads. So what we need to do is have a strong relationship with them, and then they help us have a strong relationship with the customer, which is how reps are supposed to work, right?
I'm talking with folks from Calumet Electronics. Todd Broussard and Meredith LeBeau and Sean Bender are here. A success story. They have been hiring in the Copper Country and are looking to hire more. Who are you looking to hire?
Initially, what we are looking to do is onboard 50 basically operators for our manufacturing environment.
Wait a minute, 50?
50, yeah. And I think we're up to
32
was the last number. Yeah.
We're at 32. We've hired 32 people in the last 4 weeks, and we still have a ways to go.
Now, who do these people need to be? What kind of skills do they need to have?
Really? Now, do you want to take this one, Meredith?
Yeah, I can take it. Really, it's just about wanting to put in a hard day's worth of work every day, show up on time, and willing to learn new jobs, and willing to grow with a company that is almost like getting on the ground floor right now with our growth trends.
So you don't necessarily have to have a degree from Michigan Tech in engineering or anything like that to get into this?
Not for these operator jobs, which is the first phase of hiring. But we are looking at, in the future, maybe 6 to 9 months down the road, bringing in some more engineering staff, which will target people with degrees as well.
So off the top of my head, I know that within the next year, we're going to be hiring people into administration, accounting, human resources, process engineering, quality assurance. and facilities. You know, we're looking for people in all of those categories.
Also computer-aided manufacturing and computer-aided design.
Oh, CAD is big. Yeah, the CAM part is definitely a big aspect of what we're trying to accomplish as well.
But at the moment, you're looking for people to operate machinery. Do they need to have any kind of technical training?
No, we will actually provide the training in their first few months on the job, so no training is necessary.
How does one apply?
Well, you just kind of – what seems to be happening is people are walking up to the front door, grabbing an application, and filling it out and turning it in. I think you can also download an application from our website. I'm pretty sure that's –
Yes, you can. You can download it from the website, and you can also get to the human resources manager from the website as well to inquire about a job as well.
And it certainly sounds as if the growth rate that is – if that curve continues – there's going to be opportunities for advancement here. There's going to be opportunities to build a career here rather than just a job.
Yes. That's the most exciting thing that's really developing and changing for CAM Electronics is we have put up a good fight in the last 15 years to not be one of the statistics of the companies that have gone down. And especially in the last 4 years, maybe it's going on five now, it's all a blur to me, we started hiring talent too. We picked up Meredith LeBeau. We've picked up additional engineers. And so we have the machinery, but now we're also starting to have the people that we need to, you know, cross some of the bridges or cross some of the gaps that we need to do and get to some of the places with technology that we want to.
Is there tension? Is there stress involved in this? You've talked about the high quality levels that you need.
Describe our work environment as dynamic and fast paced. we have.
Any time you're really aiming for perfection.
And
there's some
high volume at perfection.
Yeah, there is some stress. There is some push that comes along with that.
Of the PCB manufacturers left in the United States, we're in the top 5% for revenue. We're in the top 5% for throughput. And I would argue that we're in the top 1% for quality based on our statistics and the data that we have. Here's the math behind it. Right now we run 24/5. So we run 24 hours a day, 5 days a week, first shift heavy for sure. So the two overnight shifts have about the same amount of people as the first shift. So those two shifts put together. What we're heading towards is fully staffing all of the shifts around the clock, and we're pushing some of our work groups inside of the building the 7 days a week and 6 days a week. So if you look at the data, you look at the curve, I'm doing a thing with my finger in the air, everybody, where you show throughput, what you see is that the number of labor hours correlates or is in lockstep with the throughput. So literally adding labor hours increases our throughput. And we have so much work right now that we're turning it away.
Well, that's a bad thing because you don't want to get a reputation for that.
They don't come back.
That's the
I think it's also important to mention that while it is maybe one would consider high stress, it's something that you can have pride in. And so you know that you're putting this high performance product out into the industry. Right now we're doing some quick turns for recovery from the hurricanes. So you get to actually participate in disaster recovery and those kind of markets and those kind of situations where you can be full of pride in what you do here in the Copper Country.
So the boards that we're building right now on an emergency basis are going to go to one of our power customers, and that power customer is responsible to get the infrastructure up and running, you know, down in Florida and down in those areas.
That's a heavy job that's going on down there. So.
Yes.
Real quickly, as we wrap this up, talk to me about your relationship with one of the big assets of this area. Talk to me about Michigan Tech.
Ah, yes.
What does that mean to your company?
Well, one of the things that's interesting is I think for many years we were a little estranged from Michigan Tech, and I mean just distance. We just didn't do a lot together. I think we might have had some PhD students along the way help design certain aspects of our business processes 25 years ago. But in recent years, within the last 15 years, we did a R&D project with Michigan Tech on an embedded waveguide. That's where you're building fiber optic capabilities in a circuit board. So that was really interesting. But more recently, we've really become interested in the students. Right? We've realized that we have an asset here. And as we've, like I said, we onboarded talent, right? And once you start onboarding talent, that talent wants to onboard more talent. A players want to work with A players kind of stuff. And so what we've realized is that Michigan Tech just offers a bunch of really smart, driven young people that are graduating. In fact, we opened a center down, something that we're calling our Advanced Technology Center, that's actually in the Lakeshore building right down on the waterfront. That's ran by a recent graduate that just graduated from Michigan Tech. And they're doing a little bit of design work for us for our internal processes.
Is there a little gravitas that attaches to have a well-known research university basically in your backyard? Does anybody care?
That is a good question. I would think that the caring, you know, the bread and butter of our industry is OEMs, and people are out there, they're turning their intellectual property into products, and they want those products built, and they want them fabricated, and they want them fabricated by the best. What you'll find is the PCB fabrication process, what we do is very hard. It's very unique. We don't actually put any chips on a circuit board, not one. All we do is we make the bare boards, and we ask our customers that do assembly and these large customers that do vertical integration, why don't you build the PCBs too? And their answer is, it's too hard.
So you guys are doing it, and you're growing, and we are out of time. But thank you all for coming in. I appreciate your knowledge, and I appreciate you sharing it, and good luck in the future. Calumet Electronics, Todd Broussard and Meredith LeBeau, and Sean Binder here on Copper Country Today. Our next segment, we will move you more and eat you less. No, we will have you move more and eat less. It's something like that. Stand by for that here on Copper Country Today.